Blog Talk Radio.
I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end. His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings. There will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you away. I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own. There has never been a step, but you've walked down all alone. Troubled soul, don't lose your heart, cause joy and peace he brings, and the beauty that's in store. How is the hurt of life sting? But I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more.
This is Pastor and Prophet JC. It is a blessing to be here. We love having the opportunity of being here tonight. And we know that God is about to do some supernatural things in your life. Amen. So let's go ahead and just bow down our heads in this night, and we want to make sure that we get in the presence of God together tonight. Amen. We want to get in the presence of God together, and we want to make sure that we go there. Amen. So let's go ahead and do that. I want to just have you bow down your heads and lift up your arms or lift up your hands to heaven. Whatever you want to do, just let's all do it together this night. We want to come in agreement, because when you come in agreement, wonderful and powerful things happen. Amen. Everybody say wonderful and powerful things happen. All right. So we're going to get into it tonight. There's great things that are going to come this night, great blessings that await us. We're going to have to activate them in prayer. Let's pray for Nepal. Let's come in agreement. Amen. Father, thank you. Father, we bless you. We glorify you in the name of Jesus. Father, we come in this night not being bored, not being ready to be entertained, but rather be ready to receive a time of refreshing out of your presence, O Lord. We believe and we know that without you we are nothing, Father God. We are in chaos. We are in trouble without you, Father. But with you we are everything. All things are possible with you. To those who believe, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, in this night, we come presenting our bodies, our souls, our spirits in the name of Jesus and consecrating it to you, giving ourselves to you, Lord God, knowing that you have a great and wonderful plan for our lives in this moment in Jesus' mighty name. Father, that you will do exceedingly and above all that we can think of or ask for. In this night, Father, we present ourselves before you as a living sacrifice. Father, presenting ourselves before you knowing that you will change our hearts, you will change our minds, that you will restructure our thought process through your word, Father, that you will give us such revelations, that you will give us such rhema words that we will hear, that will activate our faith to move on to the next level of faith, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. It is a privilege to be here listening to the word of God, to be here in the presence of God, knowing, Father, that you are about to do something supernatural. Father, your word says you are the great I am, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, Father. You are our priority in all things, in the beginning and in the end of our day, Father God. We put you first. We glorify you. We sanctify you, Father. In this moment, I come praying for every person that's listening tonight. I pray, Father God, that you convict people in this night. I pray you change people's hearts in this night. I pray you change people's situations, Lord God. I pray you supply people supernatural finances, sudden shift in the financial area of their lives in the name that is above every single name. Oh, Yeshua, you will do it because you are mighty to do it, Father God. You will do it because you are holy and faithful and righteous. There's no other beside you. There's none like you, not in heaven, not on earth, and definitely not under the earth. Oh, Yeshua HaMashiach, Son of the Living God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Manifest your glory tonight. Manifest yourself. Oh, you are welcome here. Your presence is welcome here. We recognize your presence. We desire, we long for your presence in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you so much, Father. In the name of Jesus, we come, Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, interceding, standing in the gap for every person in Nepal, Lord God, every person that is suffering, every person that is struggling to deal with the fact they just lost their family member, those children that have become now, orphans, and the women that have become widows, and even the husbands that have lost their wives and their children. Oh, Father, we pray for their hearts to be comforted. We pray for their minds to be at peace. Oh, Father, we pray that you send comfort, you send aid, even the angels minister to those people, Father God, even, Father, in heaven, to bring salvation to them. I pray that you activate evangelists all over the world, Father, that have a ministry that can reach those people, that can go there and speak to them in their language and speak to them about the love of God and the importance of repentance. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we ask for forgiveness for the sins of idolatry of that nation, and we pray that you have mercy on them, Father, that you have mercy on the people, and that you, Father, send financial aid, that you send, Lord God, water. And, oh, Father, we come against all infections that will kill more people. And we pray, Father, that you even send angels to minister to cleanse the atmosphere in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And we thank you because it was not worse. We thank you, Father God, because you are faithful, because you are true, Father God, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And your judgments are just, Lord God. You are not an unfair God. You've given plenty of opportunity. And you do all things, Lord God, according to your perfect will and your perfect love. And we thank you for that. And this night, Father in heaven, we ask in the name of Jesus that you begin to minister to those people that are lost in that nation and in all other nations in the world. We even pray for Israel, Lord God, that you open the eyes of the people in Israel, that you open their eyes so they may see Jesus as the Messiah. Father, we pray for Israel that you begin, Lord God, to do something supernatural in the city of Jerusalem, that you begin to bring peace, Lord God, within its walls, that you begin, Lord Jesus, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, to bring supernatural and overabundant blessings, that even the churches that are there begin to grow exponentially, that they increase, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We bless your holy name, and we thank you. We bind every spirit of the horseman, every horse spirit that has been activated against Israel to bring violence, is bound in the name of Jesus. We come against every ISIS movement, and we tear the plans of ISIS in half. We destroy and we confuse every enemy of Jerusalem, every enemy of Israel, every enemy of the church that is in the Middle East. We confuse them right now. Let the angel of terror be released to terrorize them in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you so much for their lives. And we pray, Father, that you, in the name of Jesus, bring them to repentance. Father, we ask for forgiveness for the sins of the ISIS group, Lord God, the terrorist movement. And we pray, Father, we forgive them also. We forgive them for killing our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we pray, Father in heaven, that you bring these people in the name of Jesus to you, that you draw them near to you, that you show up to them, that you, Lord God, show them your love, that you show them that you are the only true living God. In Jesus' mighty and holy name we pray. We thank you, Father God. We thank you so much for everything. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We bless this show. We bless the internet, the internet channel, the Block Talk Radio people that have helped us be here, Lord God, and preach the gospel in the airwaves all over the world. We bless also, Lord God, the people on YouTube that have been able to help us get that YouTube channel going. Father, we thank you for the YouTube channel. We bless the YouTube channel. We bless every single area, Lord God, of our lives in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach this night. And I pray that you manifest your glory through me, that you use me as an instrument to bless your people, Lord God, that not one word that comes out of my mouth is according to my own selfish desire or according to my own agenda, but let your agenda, let your words, let your glory be spoken in this night in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father in heaven. You are faithful and true. For every person out there that is listening that does not yet believe in Jesus, let them come into this show and listen to the Word of God and be convicted by the Holy Spirit in order to believe and be transformed and changed tonight, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, thank you, Lord. God is good. Can someone say, God is good? Hallelujah. Well, we have a radio show tonight. We have a show. We have a short show, hopefully. Hopefully we'll be out of here, you know, not that late. But I want to talk to you about a few different things. First, I'd like to invite you to come to our Facebook page. So press like on our Facebook page. You can go to Prophet J. C. Mora or Pastor John C. Mora. John C. Mora is spelled J-E-A-N C and then dot or period M-O-R-A. So that is John C. Mora and Prophet J. C. Mora on Facebook. Check it out. Like the page. Please pass it around. Share the post. All that stuff. Help us out to spread the revelations that we have and the kingdom, amen, and the gospel. Also, if you have any prayer requests or questions, you can send them to slwchurch@gmail.com. That is slwchurch@gmail.com. Once again, you can send them to slwchurch@gmail.com. All right, very good. Also, if you'd like to send in donations, if this ministry has been a blessing to your life, the Word of God says that he who gives abundantly shall reap abundantly. So I encourage you to do that if this ministry has been a blessing to your life at any time. You can do so through paypal.com, and you can go there and put the email at the slwchurch@gmail.com. It helps us out to pay the church's bills. It helps us out to buy different things and to get things done and to travel for ministry trips. Last year we had a few ministry trips, and we were able to do so through the people's donations. And it's all because of you, so we thank you for that. But, you know, we need more people. We want to travel more. We want to do more things for the kingdom. So we'd appreciate it if you give us, you know, if you give offerings to this ministry, amen? So you can go ahead and do so. Once again, paypal.com, and the email ID is slwchurch@gmail.com. I love you all very much. Thank you. And then what else? Let me see. That's it. Well, what is happening in the world? Well, I'm seeing a lot of different things. I want to talk to you tonight about your words. Your words, you know, and it's so important that you understand that your words, they're not just, you know, empty, void, and they have no power whatsoever. I want to talk to you about your words tonight, but first I want you to repeat this prayer with me. A very quick prayer. Father, I humble myself to hear your will, to do your will, and to be a part of your will. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your word, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the power of your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. So tonight, we have a phenomenal, fantastic show. We believe that God is going to do something supernatural. How many of you believe that? Amen. So I want to talk to you very quickly about your words. This is the type of class that I usually give to disciples, you know, just the importance of changing the way we speak. But tonight we're going to talk about it, and we're going to see how God takes us. Amen. You know, I want to tell you, first of all, that your words matter. The first thing you must recognize is that your words are not just nothing. I want you to understand that existence came to be. Creation came to exist because of words that were spoken. When God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says that he said. God said, which means he spoke. So it's important that you understand that if you're created in the image and likeness of God, then also your words have the ability to make things exist or to make things cease to exist, to give life to things or to give death to things. And it's so important because there's so many people that speak and speak and speak, and they never realize the damage that they're causing. Anybody here? I don't want you to become humanist, because I'm not an emotional person, and I don't teach emotionalism, and I also don't teach humanism in any of my teachings whatsoever. I tell people we have to be spiritual. Our emotions are there for a purpose. They have their time and place to be used, but not all the time. Now, with this, I'm telling you, this is not a humanist thing or an emotional thing. Your words matter. The way you speak about your situation matters. The way you speak to your children matters. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? You know, when I was a kid, I grew up around people who were very ignorant concerning words. You know, we had, for example, when you were in school, a teacher, and I need you to understand that every time that you're in the realm of authority, in the realm of somebody's authority, automatically, when you're under that person's authority, you're subject to be influenced by their words. Now, you need to understand that anybody's words against you or toward you can influence you, but authority figures' words can influence you even more. They have more relevancy, they have more importance, and they definitely have more weight. They have an ability to change things for you, for the good or for the bad. So when I grew up as a kid, I had teachers, and when I grew up in school, the teachers, if you did something bad, they didn't treat you very well. They didn't speak to you positively. I came across a few people, a few teachers, a few persons in authority that, you know, they would curse me whenever I would say things or I would do things wrong. They would say stuff like, you'll never amount to anything, or you'll never do such and such thing, or you are a scrub, or you are lazy. You know, and though, I need you to understand something, though things are true, the Bible says that God looks at the things that are not as though they already are. Remember, that's faith. That's what we call faith, right? And then the thing about faith is that faith is both a conviction and both an action and a move. When a person has faith, they're moving towards something. When a person has faith, they're making an action, a corresponding action. When a person has faith, it's as a person's convicted about something, and that's what drives them to make something happen, right? So when I was a kid, I heard a lot of different people tell me certain things, and they did it by intention. Another thing that faith is intention. The intention behind what you're trying to do will determine whether you have faith or not. Now, I need you to understand something. This is very important. Because tonight we're going to talk about your words, about your tongue, about the power of your words that your words has, amen? And tonight you're going to learn that it's not just anything. That it's not just whatever. That it is extremely important the way you use it, amen? The way you use your words. We, especially in Hispanic culture and in African-American culture, since we're minorities, our minorities are more ignorant than anybody else. And that's culturally true, and the reason why is because minorities don't have the means to be educated, generationally speaking, like non-minorities do. So when you have minorities like African-Americans, or what we call blacks, or Hispanics, or even Asians, what happens is we grew up in a culturally bound society to anger, to alcoholism, to different types of problems. And in this type of environments is where people speak the worst. The worst the situation, the worst that people speak. So what happens is a lot of people grow up in a home that in the home the parents are violent or the parents are alcoholics. Some people grew up in a home where the father, beat the mom and then, you know, lived in the home when he felt like he had two women, one outside, one inside, you know, and stuff like that. And what happens is every time the parents speak to the kid, they take out all the anger they have at each other, they take it out against the kid. So the kid grows up, and he grows up with a certain you know, amount of problems. When I was in high school, I had my band director cursed me over and over again. I was the best musician in the entire school. You know, and then our entire band program had about 300 and something band members, and I was what we call the superstar kid. I was doing all state competitions and winning all of them. I was doing all sorts of things that showed that I was going to be potentially a great musician someday, famous and known all over the world. So but because of my talent, I was always under the radar. And I'm telling you this testimony because I want to teach you a principle. Because of my talent, I was always under the radar. So that means that every little mistake I made or every problem I had or every normal teenage issue that I had with classes outside of my band program, basically, if I messed something up, I would be cursed for it by the band director, because the band director was like a football coach. He was like some sort of person that was involved in every area of your life. And if you didn't do well in every other area, then you couldn't be banned. Because our band program in a school, we took that very seriously. Our school was like sort of one of the best schools in the country and stuff like that growing up. So my band director was constantly not only cursing me, but cursing other people. Now today when I look at every one of those people that he cursed, none of them today are functioning as proper members of society. Though they were all smart, though they all have potential, and I'm including myself before my past, I had a very difficult time starting off. I never made it as a musician. I had a very difficult time making it as a musician. For years, I was working from gig to gig, and yet I never became famous. So just kind of give you an idea how the power of people's words can change certain situations in your life. I've met people who their parents have called them a name over and over again, and when they grow up, they become just that name. Does anybody understand what we're talking about? The parents call the child stupid. Oh, you're stupid. You're slow. The kid grows up, ends up ADD, cannot function properly, ends up not passing his classes, ends up struggling with things that are supposed to be easy for him or her. This is serious. And so we're coming to the age in which we're starting to realize, some of us anyway, are starting to realize that our words have relevancy. Our words can change things. But remember, everything takes time. Just like it takes time to damage something, even though some things can get damaged right away, it takes time to build something. It takes a everybody knows that it takes a longer amount of time to damage something, right? It takes a longer amount of time to build something than to damage it. You can destroy something in one. You can get a building and blow it up with one bomb, but you can never blow a building into existence with one bomb, one building bomb. If there was such a thing, you couldn't do it. A building takes time to build. So in other words, a human being takes time to build up. A person, a kid, takes time to build up. And the way you build a child up, you build them up in the Word of God. You build them up encouraging them. I'm not talking about just your children. I'm talking about your own life. You can never, and you as a Christian need to understand this tonight, you will never be successful at anything in life if you don't change the way you speak. You never will. Because what happens is that the moment you came into the kingdom, you were subjected to the kingdom rules, to the kingdom laws, to the kingdom principles. And one of the kingdom principles is that whatever you want, you speak it. Whatever you want to happen, you speak it. And another kingdom law is that Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, no one can avoid speaking something that's not in their heart. If in your heart you have love for Jesus, then what's going to come out of your mouth is worship to Jesus. Can someone say amen? If in your heart you have hatred to your brethren or to your brother or to your sister, whoever it is, then what's going to come out of your mouth is hatred, it's contention, it's strife, it's problems. If in your heart you have love for money, then what's going to come out of your mouth is the desire to work more and to do more things to make more money or to have more, to have more, to have more. So in other words, what I'm trying to tell you, in the kingdom, no one can avoid this simple law. If your heart is full of evil, then so is your mouth. If your heart is full of love, then so is your mouth. So in other words, what am I trying to tell you? The first thing that we need to address when it comes to your mouth, to your words, is your heart. So how do you change your heart? That's a question of the century. The way you change your heart is by going to the presence of God and asking God to change it. Now, when God begins to minister your heart, there's two different ways you can change your heart: by asking God to change it and by speaking differently. Because what happens is that Jesus spoke another word. He says, it's not what comes, what goes into your mouth that defiles you, but it is what comes out of your mouth. Now, remember, if it comes out of your mouth and it defiles you, that means that if it comes out of your mouth and it's life, then it will give you life and not defile you. So if you speak constantly positive things, even though that's not what you feel like speaking, even though your emotions say otherwise, if you say, in the name of Jesus, I am healed. In the name of Jesus, I forgive such and such person. Instead of speaking the contention that your heart is feeling concerning that person, you speak what the Word of God says concerning that person. It's easy to speak. Anybody can speak. Now, the intention, that's the part that's going to take a while to change, because at first your intention is evil toward that person. But when you begin to be convicted, when you begin to confess something differently, when you begin to tell God, change my heart, and you begin to exercise asking God to change your heart, you begin to exercise humbling yourself before God, you begin to exercise speaking differently than you've been speaking, then all of a sudden now your intention also changes. And when intention changes, so does your faith concerning that specific thing. Now pay attention. I want you to go to the book of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18, verse 21. And it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. They that love the tongue, the way they speak. Now pay attention, though. I want you to understand that life and death are the two absolutes that dominate this realm. I'll say that one more time. Life and death are the two absolutes that dominate this realm of earth. In other words, in life is what fills earth. Anybody here? Death is what makes it void. Everything else is in between. In other words, those are the two most absolutes. Now, this is important because God made your tongue. Your tongue means your words, the way you speak. God gave your tongue the ability, the power. When it says the power there of the tongue, it's talking about the strength of the tongue, the hand of the tongue, the ability to move the tongue, right? God gave those two things, life and death, and he gave your tongue power over the two. Do you understand that those are the two absolutes of this realm that we live in? And yet God said two absolutes. An absolute is something that can't be changed. Anybody here? An absolute is something that can't be changed, that is set in stone. Yet God says you can change it with your tongue. Your tongue, such a small thing, God compares it and puts it over the current situation called life or death, things that no one can avoid. No one can avoid, listen to what I'm telling you, no one can avoid death, and no one can avoid someone being born somewhere in the world. In other words, people are always going to be born, and people are always going to die. Death is always going to come, and so is life. No one can avoid that. No one can stop that process. That's a cycle that no one can stop. Yet, God says, over those two, I will give you power. And the way the power is not by your fist, it's not with your hands, it's not with your feet, it's with your mouth. Can someone say, my mouth has influence? Someone say, my mouth has influence. Hallelujah. So now, listen to this. The two absolutes, life and death, hang in the balance of your tongue's discretion and exercise. And your tongue has the power to change them both. Now, I need you to understand that absolutes don't change, but the tongue can break the pattern. In other words, if somebody, listen to my words, if something's about to be birthed in hell and come against you, you can end it with your tongue. But if something's about to end your life, you can end it with your tongue. Anybody understanding what we're talking about? Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Something, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. A person can literally abort a vision, abort a baby, abort just by their words. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. And if you love the fruit of it, if you love it, you shall eat its fruit. So if you love speaking a certain way, you're going to eat the fruit of the way you speak. If you love speaking a certain way, you're going to love the way, you're going to love the fruit thereof. Why? Because if you love speaking life, then you're going to enjoy the fruit of life. But if you enjoy speaking negative stuff, destruction, death, problems, then you're going to enjoy that fruit as well. So the Bible tells you, basically, the wise man Solomon says to you, be careful with the way you speak, because your tongue is more important than you think. Your tongue is more relevant than you think. Anybody here? I call the tongue the unintentional weapon, because unfortunately many people don't realize that they have a tongue and that they have a weapon in their mouth. The great, listen to me, the Bible says that Jesus' words, the breath of his mouth, talking about his word, in another place, this is in the book of Revelation, that a sword will come out of his mouth. When Jesus' word comes out of his mouth, he says that the words are going to destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet, and all the nations in the world that come against Jesus will be torn apart just by his words. Can you imagine? Wow. So life was created in the beginning with God's mouth. And in the end, life will be destroyed with God's mouth. Is anybody understanding what we're talking about? You need to understand that your tongue is more important than you think. There's a revelation to be had concerning the unintentional weapon. The unintentional weapon. The tongue is like a loaded gun in the hands of an ignorant person, or it's like a loaded gun in the hands of a prudent person. Depends who you put the, it depends who you're aiming the gun at. If you're aiming the gun at the perpetrators, then you're a prudent person. But if you're aiming the gun at a good person, or a person that you're not trying to hurt, or a person that you shouldn't be hurting, like meaning everyone, is anybody understanding what I'm saying? Then, if you use it the wrong way, then you're an ignorant person. There's a lot of people out there that use their fight against people, but the Word of God says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So what does that mean? When we pray, we're not praying for people to be destroyed. We're praying for the devil and his demons to be destroyed. Anybody here? So the tongue is like a loaded gun in the hands of a criminal or a police officer or a religious person or a child of God or even a peasant or a king. We're talking about polar opposites. You could either be a king or you could be a peasant. You can be a religious person or you could simply be a child of God. Your tongue is going to depend on the relationship you have with God. Your tongue is going to speak depending on your tongue, your mouth. Your words are a reflection of the condition of your heart. Your words are a reflection of the condition of your heart. Anybody understand what we're talking about? Your words are also a reflection of your identity. What is your identity? You are a child of God. What are branches of your identity? Well, you are an ambassador of Christ Jesus. What else? You are a king and you are a priest. What else? You are a servant of God. So because you are all these things, according to the Word of God, you have legal rights. You're a citizen of heaven, the Word of God says. Your citizenship is in heaven. So what am I saying when I say these things? That you have legal rights of the kingdom. One of the legal rights that you have is that now you can intentionally use your mouth for good, never for evil, for good. So how is it that some people are in the kingdom, some people are in the kingdom, they go to church, they step into the kingdom, they believe in Jesus, yet they still speak negatively toward the children? The Word of God says, do not, it says in the book of Colossians chapter 3, it says, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Do not provoke them. Some people provoke their children every single day by giving them tasks that they can't handle, tasks that they themselves, the parents, cannot even handle. So they tell the kid to do certain things. They put pressure on the kid in a certain way. And God does not want this from any of us. So what is happening is these children are growing up with so much pressure, and because they're growing up with so much pressure, when they get to a certain age, they give up because they don't think they can handle anything. They drop every single thing they have, every responsibility, and they take on one responsibility. You have other parents that are telling children that the child can't do a certain thing. You have parents today are no longer forcing themselves and making an effort to give the children the stuff the children need so that the children can go ahead and make a life for themselves. Parents are no longer encouraging the children with beautiful words. Let me tell you, there's not a single day in my life, and I'm putting myself as an example, not to make myself better than you, but to teach you as an example the life that I live. There's not one day in my life that doesn't go by that I don't tell my girls that I live with, my wife, my daughters, that I don't tell them that I love them and that they're beautiful. Not one day. There's not a single day that I don't tell my daughters and my wife that they're a blessing to my life. There's not a single day that I don't caress my daughters' heads. There's not a single day that I don't kiss them and pray for them. There's not a single day that I don't spend some time with them and let them know how they're going to change the world someday, how they're important, how they're a blessing to this world, that they came over here to have purpose. There's not a single day that goes by that I don't sit down, that I don't get on my knees, that I don't walk around and make decrees and prophesy over my children's life and over my wife's future and over my children's future. You don't understand what I'm... Listen, I need you to tonight understand that one day I had the revelation that I can change my surrounding, that I can change the atmosphere, that I can go ahead and, oh, my God, I feel the Holy Spirit, that I can change the atmosphere, that I can change my environment, that I can change my life, and I can change other people's lives by something as simple as speaking. Let me tell you, I have about 5 or 6 speaking engagements a week. I speak so much for a living that I used to be a pretty good singer, and I used to have a certain level of range. I have lost about 4 to 5 notes of range in my upper register because of speaking so much. I preach so much that I have lost about 4 to 5 notes. Now, if you're a singer and you know what I'm talking about, 4 to 5 notes of range is a lot of notes, and I'm talking about whole steps, not half steps. I know that sounds like maybe Chinese to some of you, but I have lost about 4 to 5 different notes over the last 4 years of my life because I speak so much constantly. I'm constantly preaching. I'm constantly teaching. But I realize that I have the ability. I have the revelation that God says to me, if you speak life, life will be given. If you speak death, then death will come. Now, let me explain this to you real quick. I've made a lot of mistakes, even in my Christian days, even in my anointed days. And some of the mistakes that I've made is speak according to what I see. And you need to understand, what you see is not the reality of heaven. The reality of heaven is truth, and truth is meant to set you free. In other words, truth always has an escape of your situation. Truth always has an option that your current situation cannot let you see. Your current situation might look, pay attention, your current situation might look like darkness, but truth is always in light. Truth always brings light. Truth is light. In other words, what am I trying to tell you? That your word, according to truth, what is truth? Truth is God's will. What is truth? The reality of heaven. When you speak truth, you're speaking God's will, God's purpose. When you're speaking truth, you are speaking God's purpose into your situation. So if you have a reality, your current reality might be horrible. Your current reality is that you may have a horrible job. Your current reality is that you may not have money in the bank. Your current reality might be that you live with bad people. But if you pray every day and if you confess something differently according to God's will for your life that is written in stone in the Word of God, when you confess it, when you declare it, when you prophesy it, when you speak it, you have the power in your mouth to make that change. No different than you can abort your vision. The vision and the mission and the purpose and the will of God for your life, God puts it in you, even in your spirit, man. He puts it in your spiritual womb. He deposits it as a seed. And as you water it by the word of God, if you water it with the presence of God, if you water it by proper positive confession, it will begin to grow in you and begin to give forth fruit. But every time you get discouraged, the devil wants you to speak something differently because the devil knows the power your words have. He knows that. He's not stupid. He does not want to. Pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you. The devil does not want you to have the blessings of God. Because you having the blessings of God leads to testimony. Testimony leads to the devil being destroyed. The Word of God says that we have overcome him, the devil, by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. So when you have a testimony and you confess the testimony and you declare what God has done, the devil is defeated. So the devil doesn't want you to have a testimony. He's going to try to do whatever he can, whatever is in his power, whatever is in his legal agenda that God gives him to do against your life. He's going to try constantly to come against you so that your situation will never change, instead get worse. So why? So that you can confess what you see before you. That you can confess the reality of things as opposed to the truth of things. That's why it says in the Word of God, in the book of Romans chapter 4, verse 17, that God sees the things that are not as though they already are. He wants you to speak like him. You may not see it, but you speak about it as if it was already here. I remember my daughter, Elise, she was 7 years old at that time, if I'm not mistaken. And she was telling me, Daddy, I'm going to go to this trip with you. I'm going to go to this trip with you. Daddy, I'm going to go to this trip with you. Daddy, I'm going to go to this trip with you. I'm like, I don't think I have the money to take you on this trip with me, because it was a ministerial trip. But she wanted to come, and I had some time and ability to take her in the trip if I had the money. But I didn't have the cash. And, you know, and my daughter's like, I'm going to go with you. I confess it. Trust me. I'm going. It's almost as if God has spoken to her. But I was like, oh, whatever. You know, she's not going to end up coming. I don't have the money. I'm going to have to disappoint her. And I kept telling her, no, don't get your hopes up. You know, she had faith. Her faith was stepping all over my doubts, all over my unbelief. You know what I'm talking about? So all of a sudden, you know, at midnight, I receive an offering, and the offering was exactly for the amount of money that I needed for the plane ticket. Does anybody understand what we're talking about? I receive an offer, and my trip was the next day. I went and bought the plane ticket, and my daughter got on the plane with me the next morning. Does anybody understand what we're talking about? She came on the trip, and it was a blessing. She got blessed. We got blessed. It was a great time. It was a ministerial trip, but she was able to come with me because we had the ability to be able to take her with us. What am I telling you tonight is that her confession, her constant confession, her overbearing confession, because to me it was like, whoa, she's going to keep saying this. But because, you know, I thought, okay, well, you know, she's a young girl, and she's just saying that because she's excited, she wants to go. But she has so much faith that her faith brought the money into, listen to me, from the spiritual realm, her faith brought into existence. Her faith brought into existence. You need to understand what I'm telling you. Her faith brought into existence from the spiritual realm, what was in the spiritual realm brought it into the natural. And you say, how can things materialize? Well, when you pay attention, when Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish. It doesn't say that Jesus took the bread with his hand and began to make it multiply. It doesn't say he took the fish and began to make it multiply. It says he blessed it. That means he prayed. And when he prayed and blessed it, he broke the bread and started giving it to the people. And as a result of his blessing, the bread began to multiply. In other words, Jesus spoke blessing. And every time you bless, somebody's getting it. Every time you bless something, it multiplies. I need you to understand what I'm talking about. Every time you bless something, it multiplies. Now, some things take longer than others. And you say, why do some things take longer than others? Because some things have strong men. And strong men need to be bound. The word bound means to restrict. That means to prohibit. That means to make illegal. So when you bind a strong man, sometimes that process can take a while, which is why sometimes things take a little longer than others. But pay attention. When you begin to confess, things can materialize. When Jesus, pay attention, I'm going to give you an example of another miracle that Jesus did. When Jesus had to pay taxes, Jesus didn't work for the taxes. Jesus told Peter, go and put your fishing line in and catch a fish. So Jesus told him to go do a gig. Because remember, Peter was Jesus told Peter to go fish. And Peter was a fisherman. So Jesus told Peter, go to work. Right? Go to your job. When you get to your job, something supernatural is going to happen. They're going to give you a bonus at work. Anybody understanding what we're talking about? How many of you believe in bonuses at work? See, I'm releasing right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, every person is listening right now that has not had a bonus this year, I release by the power of the Holy Ghost a bonus for the summer right now. Summer bonuses in the name of Jesus. I release, I speak them right onto reality by the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And be sure that when you receive that summer bonus, to come and give an offering to this ministry, because I prayed so that I made it happen. Can someone say glory to Jesus? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now pay attention. Jesus told Peter, Peter, go and go fishing. And when you go fishing, the first fish you catch will have a coin there to pay the taxes. Now let me explain to you something. Taxes weren't cheap, so that coin had to be worth a lot of money. Pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you right now. When Jesus got told to pay taxes, he spoke a miracle into existence. What makes you think that if Jesus did it, and him speaking in John 14, 12 says, all things I've done, you can do in my name because I go to the Father. If he did it, then you can do it too. You can speak miracles into existence. Now remember, be sure to do it according to the level of your faith, according to the level of your grace, and do it according to God's purpose for your life. Don't be speaking Lamborghinis into existence when you can't even pay your Honda Civic 1996 on time. Anybody understanding what we're talking about? If you can't even afford the insurance of your Honda Civic, don't be speaking Lamborghinis into existence. Anybody here? So anybody understanding what I'm talking about? So always speak according to the level of your faith and the level of your grace. But what am I trying to tell you right now is that God wants you to change your current situation. He wants you to change your future. Your children, maybe you haven't been treating your children well. Maybe every time you get angry, you speak negative things to your children. Maybe your children irritate you. Let's be realistic. Maybe they do, but they irritate you because the upbringing you've been giving them hasn't been good. Some of you women raise your children by yourself, and you expect your children to be little angels. Well, first of all, let's look at the pattern of consequences. You got with the wrong guy to begin with. Then you had a child. Now the child was born. Now the child doesn't want to listen to you. Well, what do you expect? You had a kid with a person who didn't want to be with you, and now the kid doesn't want to be with you. Does that sound like a repetitive pattern? The person that you got married to or that you got together with had the kid, whether in marriage or out of marriage or out of wedlock. You had this child, with a person who didn't want to be with you, and now you're wondering why the kid doesn't want to be with you, why the kid doesn't want to obey you. Now, you can now, because the Word of God says in the book of Isaiah 58 that we shall be called the repair of breach, the repair of the streets to dwell in. That means that now our job is to repair things. How do we repair things? With the words that come out of our mouth. Now, instead of cursing your children because you're frustrated, then now the fruit of the Spirit is going to have to kick in. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. It's long-suffering. It's gentleness. It's meekness. It's faith. Anybody here is love. Hallelujah. Somebody here, when the fruit of the Spirit kicks in, then you realize, wait a minute, I can't treat my children like that no more. So now let me speak positive things. And you begin to speak by faith the things into existence. Father, in the name of Jesus, da-da-da-da-da. Father, in Jesus' name, da-da-da-da-da. In the name of Jesus, I confess and I declare that my children will be like this. I prophesy that my children shall see such and such thing. I prophesy that my children shall never taste the world, that my children shall never know what sinning in the world is like. I prophesy that my children shall get baptized at a young age. I prophesy that my children shall prophesy. I declare in the name of Jesus, Father, I bless my children. Anoint your children. When you worship God and you feel the presence of God, go and get some anointing oil. Put your hands on your children's head. Take advantage of the anointing that's in the room and be like, Father, I bless my child's mind. I submit my child to you. I declare they have the mind of Jesus. Bless your children. Your children are an inheritance to you. They're your gift. They're your replacement when you leave. They're going to continue your legacy. What legacy are you going to leave behind? A legacy of poor people? A legacy of people who have no relevancy, who can't change nothing? When I leave this planet, the day that I do, when I'm 120 years old, glory to Jesus, when I'm 120 years old and I leave this planet, I would have left a legacy of men and women of God who are warriors in the kingdom of God, who have changed entire cities and have brought movements of God to entire cities and entire nations. Anybody understanding what I'm talking about? That's the movement I would have left behind, because that's my confession, and you will see it come to pass. And every single one of you is going to be there with me. Every one of you is going to be there with me in the ministry when it comes to pass, because you guys have been faithful this whole time. You're going to continue to be faithful, and you're going to take this ministry to the next level. Can someone say glory to Jesus? And God's going to do miracles through this ministry. But the confession of your mouth is important. Today I had a man tell me something. Today we were trying to look for a different location for our church, and some man from the real estate office told me, you cannot do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. And I'm looking at the guy, I'm going like, you can't even understand what truth is. You're telling me, he was giving me a reality check, but I was giving him a truth reality. Oh, a truth check. And the truth says I can. Reality says I can't, but the truth says I can. Let me tell you, if I would have guided myself by every word every person has told me concerning my ministry, I would have shut down a long time ago. We've been in this ministry for the last 2 years, paying the rent in this place, and we've never paid the rent late. We've never paid the light bill late. We've paid all things on time. God has always supplied, and we've never had the membership to even see it come to pass, but somehow it's happened. So if I can confess good things for my church, if I can fight for my things, if I can fight for my family, if I can fight for things to come to pass, and I see things happening in people's lives, miracles constantly happening in people's lives because of the confession of my mouth, then I tell you tonight that you can do it too. God has called you to confess good things. God has called you to prophesy good things into your life. God has called you to decree because you're a king, and kings make decrees, and a decree is an order in the spirit realm that cannot be changed. Does anybody understand what we're talking about? So at some point or another, that decree has to come to pass. You just have to get up and do it. Get up and do it over and over again. Do not be persistent. Do not stop. God, just keep going. Get up again and keep going. And if God has given you a vision, if God has spoken to you by dream, if God has spoken to you by prophecy, if God has spoken to you directly, has told you, this is what I want you to do, then that's what you're going to confess every single day, because your tongue has the power over your life. Your tongue has the power to change your life. Your words will change and determine your future. Today's words are tomorrow's reality. Does anybody understand what we're talking about? They talk about reality all the time, but let me tell you, my truth will invade my reality. Today I speak truth, tomorrow I live in the reality of truth. Does anybody understand what we're talking about? You need to be doing that every single day of your life. Let me tell you, your tongue is the most influential member in our body and in the body of Christ. In other words, in your body, the most influential member is not your hands, it's not your feet. You would think it's your feet because you walk around. It's your words. Are you here? Because a man has a penis. I'm sorry to be graphic. A man has a penis, and a man can get a woman pregnant. But a man can kill that baby with his words. Ha! Did you hear what I just said? So he can create life with his penis. He can never create life with his mouth. A man can never say with his mouth, hey, I'm going to have a kid, and the kid is born. No, no, no. A man can't do that. But he can destroy that kid's life with his mouth. Does anybody understand what we're talking about? Oh, my God. Somebody's getting it. Somebody's getting it. Are we here? So, pay attention to what I'm saying. The most influential member of your body is your tongue. But in the body of Christ, the most influential member is your tongue. What is the tongue in the body of Christ? Prayer. Did you hear what I just said? In the church, the most influential member is your words, your mouth, prayer. Hallelujah. Is anybody here? Now, I want you to understand that the tongue is very small and very partially hidden, which gives a perception of the least important. It is highly ignored, which is why people use it for evil. Now, I want to show you something supernatural. I want you to go to the book of Mark, chapter 11. We're going to end very soon. I want you to go to Mark chapter 11, please. When you have it, say amen. Let's go to verse 18. Actually, let's go to verse 20. No, forgive me. Let's go to verse 12. Now, the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry, meaning Jesus, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. Now, pay attention. Jesus saw leaves. He saw if perhaps it will have something on it. Now, you got to understand, Jesus knew whether it had something on it or not, but he was trying to teach his disciples something. Anybody here? When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. Now, pay attention. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Now, watch this, though. Let's go to verse 20. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus was able, with his words, pay attention, when he said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again, he was able, with those words, to dry up the fig tree all the way to the roots. Now, when you dry something all the way to the roots, it means it will never grow again. Because when you go to any field where there's any type of plant, you can cut up the plant, and a month later, the plant will grow again. But when you rip it by the roots, when you take it out by the roots, it's gone and will never grow again. So Jesus, it says here that by the roots, they found it dried up. And Peter, remembering, said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Now, what did Jesus use his mouth for? As an example, to teach them about faith in your words, in speaking. He used a curse, not a blessing, to let you know that you with your mouth have either death or life. Do you hear what I just said? Remember, Jesus was always speaking positive things. Jesus was always saying, pray for your enemies, bless those who persecute you. He was always telling you, pray. He was never telling you to curse. But watch what Jesus says to them here. He says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now look what he says. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Can someone say glory to Jesus? Now I need you to understand something. In another place in Matthew, when it talks about this same story, it actually says that Jesus says, I surely say unto you that those who believe, when you shall say, just as I did to this fig tree, and you shall say unto the mountain. So you shall do this, or even say to a mountain, be cast into the sea. What is Jesus trying to tell you? He's trying to tell you that your words with faith, with intention, with action, anybody here, with conviction. Jesus was convicted, and he had intention, because he found that there was no fruit on it. He didn't like that. He disliked that. So when he spoke, he said, let no one eat fruit in you ever again. He took authority over his situation. He took authority over the fact that when he was looking for fruit, it didn't offer him fruit. Is anybody understanding what I'm talking about? There's certain situations in your life that are not helping you out. So you need to take your authority. Jesus tells you tonight, take your authority in his name. Take the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you and say, in the name of Jesus, this is not good for me. This is not giving any fruit. This is not helping me out. In the name of Jesus, let it be cursed by the roots. There's situations where relationships that you've been in, you've been stuck in relationships that God doesn't want you to have. Say, every plant that my father has not planted, let it be uprooted in Jesus' mighty name. God doesn't want you to be in certain things. There's certain situations in your job concerning injustice. People don't pay you well. You declare and say, in the name of Jesus, right now, I command right now for the justice of God concerning the balances of God, concerning my salary, the just, fair weights of God. It's right now established by the kingdom of God into my workplace, and I lose my promotion. I release my money. Every money that's been held for me, that's been kept from me by the thief, is right now released. I bind every spirit right now of opposition to my promotion. I bind right now every serpent and scorpion. I bind the spirit of lack, the spirit of debt, the spirit of poverty. And I break that poverty. I break that curse. I curse poverty from its root. And I plant right now life into my life in the name of Jesus, the life of Christ and his abundance. You can speak like that in your prayers. You can prophesy good things into your life. Stop suffering because you don't want to speak. Your words matter. He who does not, listen, the Bible says in the book of Luke, when Jesus is teaching him a prayer, that he left the place and somebody that was mute was there, and Jesus cast out the mute spirit out of them. Why did Jesus do that right when he's talking about prayer? Because God's will is for you to speak. Speak, speak, talk, 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 talk. Listen, people are saved through your words. Did you hear what I just said? People are not saved by a feeling. They're saved by words. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God there is the word rhema. When it talks about that in Romans chapter 10, the word rhema is spoken word. So that means that the word has to be spoken for somebody to hear it. So when you talk to somebody, you have power to save their life, to save them from eternal damnation. Do you even understand how important your words are? I have brought people to salvation, and it's the greatest joy you can feel because you literally took somebody out of the bowels of hell and you brought them into the everlasting kingdom of Jesus Christ simply by talking. Some people have a hard time talking, and they don't realize they're oppressed by the devil. They have problems in their heart. They have problems of all sorts of issues in their heart and in their mind that the devil is trying to tell them, don't talk. God's will is for you to open your mouth and speak. Speak truth. Speak love. Speak power. Speak good things. Speak prosperity. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Some people say, well, I'm shy. No, you're not shy. You're oppressed. There's no such thing as shy in the kingdom. Come on. Speak it. Speak the word of God. Speak the power of God. Speak great things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's so many people that are receiving tonight. Some of you didn't even know concerning the importance of speaking differently. Some of you, every single day, you get mad at your children, and the first thing that comes into your head, that's what you speak. Why are you doing that? Because you never knew. But today you know. Whenever you get mad at your children, take a deep breath and think about what Jesus will tell them. Think about if Jesus would speak to his children and call them stupid. When did you ever hear Jesus speaking to somebody stupid, saying to a child, stupid? He would never do that. So why would you do that to your children? As a matter of fact, if you do that to your children, you're going to pay a judgment against your life. Because the word of, pay attention, the word of God says, woe unto those who make one of these little ones stumble. It is better for him to tie a rope around his neck with a stone to the end of it, a millstone, and cast it into the sea. In other words, it's better for you to drown yourself than to mess with little children so that when they grow up, they stumble in the ways of the Lord. Did you catch what I just said? It is better for you to kill yourself now than for you to make the little children grow up to be evil because of your words, or grow up to be oppressed because of your words. Some people criminalize their children from a young age because they don't know how to speak. Does anybody understand what we're talking about? The word of God says in the book of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9, that the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. Anybody understanding what we're talking about? The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. It takes wisdom and knowledge to use the tongue correctly. The boat captain has to be sober in order to steer the boat in the right direction. If a boat captain is steering a boat, he has to be sober. If he's drunk, he's going to go all over the place. He's going to crash against something. Now, pay attention. The word of God says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness out of his mouth. So the mouth of fools just pours out foolishness all the time. Are you a fool or are you a wise person? Are you a wise virgin or are you a foolish virgin? speak positive things in someone's amen. You're gonna affect the spiritual condition of someone just by your words. You can get someone sick just by your words. Did you know that? The Word of God says there's a tongue that is like the piercing of a sword. It says there's a tongue that's like the piercing of a sword. You can kill someone by cursing people. There's some of you out there who you don't even realize that when you speak, you're activating demons against people's lives. You're going to listen. When you speak, you can activate demons against people's lives, or you can activate angels. Which one are you activating? Angels or demons? Anybody understanding what we're talking about? There's people out there who have gotten sick and have died because a pastor has cursed them. There's people out there who have gotten sick and have died because a doctor has cursed them and they've received the analysis. When a doctor tells you you have something, this is what you tell them. My Lord is greater, and I cancel your words in the name of Jesus. Thank you for telling me. Now I know how to pray. And you go home and you pray the opposite. Anybody understanding what we're talking about? It's time for you to start believing that your words have, your words matter. Jesus says that a curse matters enough to, pay attention, a curse matters enough to destroy something. How much more value would the words of life and blessing have over something? Anybody understand? You're called the repairer of the breach, the repairer, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. That means the streets are destroyed. That means the breaches are separated. So which means now that because of that, God has called you to restore. God has called you to build up. God has called you to encourage. God has called you to do different things that are positive for the kingdom of God. It is time to start changing the way you speak. The Word of God says in James chapter 3, verse 3, indeed we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large, they are driven by fierce winds. Pay attention. They are churned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. It doesn't say that the winds, pay attention, because Peter one time encountered winds. Are you here? Peter one time encountered winds. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, if that's you, call me to come to you. Someone said he was speaking words of life. And when he walked into the water, Peter walked. But the moment that Peter felt the fierce winds, pay attention, Peter was no longer in control of his boats because he stopped confessing Jesus. And he began to confess his situation. Does anybody understand what we're talking about? Hallelujah. So although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are churned by a very small rudder. So even if the wind in your life, the current problems in your life may seem like the current reality, the very small rudder, which is your tongue, will move according to the desire of your heart, which is the pilot. You are the pilot of your own boat, of your own life, of your own destiny. You control the way things are going to happen by your mouth. But remember, your mouth has to move, your tongue has to speak according to God's purpose for your life, according to God's will. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Pay attention, he's speaking of the negative part of the tongue. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. So your tongue gets influenced by the conference rooms of hell. There's conference rooms in hell that are meeting up to figure out a way to put you in a bad situation so that they can make you speak a certain way, to make you see the reality of things so that you can focus in your situation and think that that's the only way you're meant to live. And as a result, that's the way you speak. So it's for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, or creature of the sea, it's tame that has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Whither we bless our God and Father, and whither we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Is anybody here? Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Someone say glory to Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Because we're made in the image and likeness of God, we have a lot of influence in our words, brethren. God has given us power in our words, meaning we can change things for people. Someone say glory to Jesus. The tongue can become a deadly weapon in the spiritual realm as well as a tree of life. As well as a tree of life. You can literally turn your tongue into a tree of life. Do you know that? The Word of God says in the book of Proverbs 12:18, there's one who speaks like the piercings of a tongue, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Promotes health. That means you can make somebody healthy with your mouth, but you can also pierce somebody to death with your mouth. You can kill somebody or you can heal somebody with the same mouth. Can someone say glory to Jesus? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you that your words against somebody can actually be sent forth to them to destroy their lives? Psalm 64 verse 2 says, hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, bitter words. So your mouth speaking filth against somebody is bitter words that go as arrows and swords in the spirit realm. And it says that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. In other words, they shoot in secret. They talk against you behind your back, and they begin to talk. And all of a sudden, your situation, because I've had people speak things against my life that I've had to cancel because I can tell that somebody's speaking evil of me and somebody's cursing me because of envy. When people have envy of you, they begin to speak evil against you, and as a result, demons begin to be sent. When it talks about arrows, it's talking about the fiery darts of hell. Anybody understanding what we're talking about? But the shield of faith, the Word of God that says that the shield of faith will quench every fiery dart of the devil. Can someone say amen? So you have to lift up your shield of faith and declare the Word of God. But I tell you, I have good news for you. For every curse that somebody says to you, the Word of God says that if you are a servant, if you're committed to the Lord, you have a legal right in the kingdom. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against me in judgment, I condemn. This is the inheritance or the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from God. Does anybody understand what we're talking about? So your righteousness is from God, and it says this. If somebody speaks evil of you, you condemn their tongue. You condemn their words. You cancel it. You send it back to where they came from, where they got lit up from hell. You send those words back to hell. Does anybody understand what we're talking about? Hallelujah. No one has the right to destroy you with their tongue. So cancel words and prayer and renounce those satanic impositions. The devil wants to impose agendas on you. The devil wants to impose burdens on you. The devil wants to impose things on you. But God has called you to be set free by the power of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus did the work prophetically. Jesus is the door, the way to do things. Jesus has given you access to the kingdom. Jesus has given you the keys to the kingdom to bind and to loose. But Jesus hasn't done it for you. You have to do it for yourself according to what Jesus has done. It's no different than a man, pay attention, a man, let's say 1,000 years ago, took a plan of a building and told you exactly how to build a building and said, I have given you everything that you need. All the materials are ready. Everything, all you got to do is look over here, look over here. All the materials, everything's ready. The plan, the guide is ready. This is the Bible. The plan, the guide is ready. The drafts are ready for the building. All you got to do is go build it. And you say, well, but Jesus built it for me already. So Jesus built the building, so I don't got to do nothing. Well, the building is not built. It's obviously not built, so it needs to be built. Your spiritual life has to be built upon the Word of God, upon what God says about you. You edify your own life about what God says about you, about what Jesus has done for you. Jesus died on the cross and rose on the third day for you to give you access to blessings, to give you life everlasting, to give you life in abundance. So there's no reason for why you should live in oppression. God has commanded you to speak. You don't change situations by movement only. You change them by words first and then movement. Anybody understanding what we're talking about? Your prayer life comes before the actions that you make. As a matter of fact, your prayer supports the action you make, not the other way around. Some people do first and they act first and then pray later. You got to pray first and then act later, because in prayer you will be guided to the way you ought to act. Can someone say glory to Jesus? You must do this every day. You must cancel, renounce the satanic impositions all the time. Cancel every day stuff people say against you. Some people say stuff against your name. Some people say stuff against your image. And you have no idea the type of stuff that people can do with your image. You got to cancel stuff over your life all the time. If you're a believer in the last days, when everyone seems to have an opinion about you, everyone today has access to your information. This is what Jesus commands us to pray and to bless and to curse, because we have great influence from a platform of authority. Can someone say glory to Jesus? So hearing this teaching tonight, doesn't it make you want to change the way you speak? Doesn't it make you want to say things differently? Somebody, living into somebody's calling tonight for, I think, a testimony. So we're going to go ahead and answer the call right now. Somebody's calling tonight. Let's go ahead and take this phone call. God bless you. That's my question.
Hello?
God bless you. Times are refreshing. God bless you.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I don't know. I just came into the HQ, man. I clicked you in
because it gave me a little signal, like as if you had pressed 1. I guess you pressed 1 maybe by my mistake. So when you press 1,
yeah,
it basically shows that you want to speak on the line, live on the air. So no big deal.
Yeah.
What's your name, by the way, sir?
Oh, my name is Gregory. Last name Blanchard. I live in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Oh, awesome, man. Great. How'd you hear about the show?
I found you online. I was going through Block Talk Radios and I saw you online, and then I saw your YouTube videos, and I like the piece that when you talk about the kingdom of God and you talk about marriage, you know, and I put that one on my Facebook. I put that one on my Facebook page, and then I started following you from that one video, man, and very enlightening, you know what I mean? I like listening to you, man. You sound like a true man of God, you know. I just wanted to say that. And
hey, man, Gregory, listen, I bless you, man. Thank you so much for listening to our show, and I invite you to come to church on Sunday morning. We're actually in North Miami Beach, so we're not too far away.
We're in North Miami Beach.
Yeah, North Miami Beach.
Oh, where?
So, you know, we are on 18th Avenue and 53rd. 18th Avenue.
Okay, because I've been going from church to church, you know, looking for a church, you know, where the power of God is evident, you know, where the Holy Spirit is there, and there's just like an outpouring, you know, like you said in Amos, you know, there's going to be a famine for the word of God, man, and it's very hard to find someone who's preaching the word in this hour, you know.
I don't think this is a coincidence, brother. Listen, send me a message on Facebook or send me a message by slwchurch@gmail.com, and then we'll get in touch. I'll give you the information of the church, so you can come Sunday morning, all right?
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
I bless you, Gregory. Thank you so much for listening, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Awesome. So he's right in our backyard. Glory to Jesus. All right, so listen, brethren. So now you've heard this understanding concerning the importance of your mouth. You're not just anyone. Stop thinking you're just anyone. God has called you unto great things. God has told you you're a king and a priest. Can you imagine? That's crazy. No other religion in the world makes the person in the same role as their master. No other religion in the world makes the person puts the person in the same role, pay attention, in the same role as their God. The Bible says you're sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He doesn't say under Christ Jesus. It says with Christ Jesus. It says you're going to eat with Jesus in the Holy Supper of the Lamb, the Supper of the Lamb. Can you say glory to Jesus? So when you're talking about God's identity for your life, he's telling you that through Jesus, the Son of God, you've now made sons and daughters of God. God has called you unto great things. So start using your influence. What is your greatest influence? Your words. Change the way you speak to your children. Speak only positive things. It doesn't matter what you feel about them at the moment. Love is not an emotion. Love is a commandment. God doesn't care how you feel about somebody, but he commands you to love them. So today we've emotionalized love, and we've made it into a feeling. Unless I feel something good about that person, then I'll go ahead and love them. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to love them. How do you show you love somebody? Through your actions toward them, through the way you speak about them, or through the way you pray for them. In someone's amen. So it's time to change the ignorance. No more speaking negative about your situation. No more calling yourself something that God doesn't call you. Why would you call yourself something your daddy in heaven is not calling you? God's not calling you a loser. God's not calling you an underdog. Listen, the Bible's full of underdogs. Gideon was an underdog. Jephthah was an underdog. These were all underdogs that God himself exalted. David was an underdog, yet he beat a lion, he beat a bear, he beat a giant, he beat an entire army of Philistines and became king. And you understand what I'm talking about. So if you feel like an underdog, if you feel like you're little, then listen to me. You're in for a good surprise. God is going to exalt you in due season. But you have to start confessing that you are sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that you are a king and a priest. You have to start taking your authority as a king and a priest and begin to decree, begin to prophesy, begin to declare God's word for your life. Begin to loosen the bind. Jesus says, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And everything you bind shall be loosened, bound in heaven. Everything you loose shall be loosed in heaven. But he also says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against your life, against the church. The church is his body. So you have to start praying for the church. You have to start praying so the church of God in this country begins to rise above the current condition, current situations in the country. The country loves homosexuality. The country loves humanism. The country loves to give everybody their own opinion about God. But the church shouldn't be loving. And the church should be separate. The church should be light in the midst of darkness. The church should be that lamp that people look for to find the truth. Now, the church shouldn't be partaking of the darkness, because if the church partakes of the darkness, then how great is the darkness in the church? As a result, no one's ever going to find the lamp. So then everyone is in darkness, because the church that's supposed to be the light, that's supposed to be the salt, is not seasoning anyone. It's not giving light to anyone. It is time for you to rise up and confess something different. It is time for you to rise up in prayer. Prayer, pay attention, prayer is the engine of your spiritual life. It is what gives you the energy to keep going, the power to keep going. Your prayer life makes you relevant. Your prayer life gives you success. Your prayer life, but you cannot pray without the knowledge of God. So the knowledge of God is gained through his word. You cannot pray effectively and change things unless you have revelation and rhema of God's word. So that's why when you seek the knowledge of God, when you're in the spirit, when you're walking in the spirit, when you fast, when you pray, then God begins to release great things upon your life, revelation of his word, and how to speak things. God begins to reveal that there's certain scriptures that apply to your life. Can someone say amen? But it's all about the words. Don't use your words for evil. Use them for good. But if the devil comes at you, destroy him. Destroy him, destroy his... Think about it. Jesus said, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing by enemy shall hurt you. Now, the way you cast out a devil is by telling it to come out. You don't cast out a devil by going into the person's body and grabbing the demon and putting handcuffs on him and taking him out. You cast out the devil by your words. So when Jesus says you trample on serpents and scorpions, he wasn't talking about literally trampling. He was talking about your words trampling. So your words can trample the devil's works. Can someone say amen? You have the ability. It's in your mouth. It is in your mouth. Start confessing life over your life. Start canceling what people have said against you. Start going back to the house of God. Go find a good church of anointing and power, and go get in order. Get your life in order. Get your life settled. Get your life straight, and begin to partake of a prayer group. A prayer group that will go and go in the spirit realm and begin to pull the blessings, because God has great blessings for you. God has great blessings for your life, and he's now giving up on you. So don't give up on yourself. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Father, I thank you for giving me a mouth to speak. And Father, I ask for forgiveness for not using it rightly. Now I pray that today you give me the wisdom that I begin to seek your knowledge and use my tongue rightly, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I know tonight you've given me a revelation that I have influence in my words and that I can change certain situations in Jesus' mighty name. Father, thank you. I will be patient and I will confess as long as it takes to change my situation. I pray, Father God, and I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Now, brethren, I bless you very much. I thank God for your life. If you have a sickness in your body or you're in need of a miracle and you need a breakthrough, I want you to call in right now. 760-888-5757 and press 1. That is 760-888-5757 and press 1. Our lines are packed right now. So call in quickly. Our lines are packed, but it's packed with people who are listening to the radio show, not with people that want to talk. So if you have a testimony or you want to, go ahead and ask for a prayer. I want to pray live. I want to agree with all my brethren all over the world and pray life for you right on the air. We're going to declare breakthrough over that situation. We're going to lose that job for you. There's people that are jobless, and you're struggling with that. You don't know how to deal with it. But God is going to change the situation right now in the name of Jesus. There's people that have a sickness in their body. There's people with problems in their body. Don't be afraid. Call in 760-888-5757. Press 1 when you call in. Now, I also encourage you, those people out there that are listening tonight, I encourage you to go to our Facebook page. That is Prophet J.C. Mora on Facebook. Prophet J.C. Mora on Facebook, or our bilingual Spanish-English page, Pastor John C. Mora on Facebook. Check us out. If you have any prayer requests or questions, you can also check it out at slwchurch@gmail.com. And if you speak Spanish and you want to listen to our radio show live on FM radio, we're live on Saturday nights at 9 p.m. East Coast time on almavision.tv. Or if you're in Miami or South Florida, you can go to 87.7 FM. That is 87.7 FM. So Saturday nights at 9 p.m. East Coast time, you can go online, almavision, that's A-L-M-A, vision, TV, .tv. So almavision.tv, you can go there, almavision.tv, and look at the section where it says live, and we'll go ahead and you know, you can call in also and have prayer, you know, be prayed for and all that stuff. There we have thousands of listeners live at any given time, thousands of listeners all over South Florida. It covers all the way to northern Cuba. We're in northern Cuba, we're in Miami, we're in Fort Lauderdale, we're all the way to Palm Beach County. So that radio station covers a lot, and we're live on the air Saturday nights at 9 p.m. East Coast time. Tomorrow I'm going to be preaching a powerful preaching of the prophetic, amen. We've been doing a series of the Antichrist. It blew people's minds. Great stuff concerning the Antichrist system that is coming. So, brethren, we have the word of God is here. The power of God is here. Let's take advantage of it. Come on, call in. I see a call coming in right now. Let's go ahead and take the call. Everybody join me in prayer tonight. This is Times of Refreshing. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Crystal, and I'm calling from Texas. And I just wanted to have prayer for employment. And when you were speaking tonight, I was just studying before I listened in on exactly what you were speaking about, changing my words, my self-talk, you know, watching what I'm thinking, understanding that sometimes what you're thinking someone else is sending. And I was canceling it out. And I had just started to, when I awake in the morning, to go right into prayer. The Lord's Prayer in Psalms 91 and Psalms 23, speaking it out and listening to what I'm speaking and canceling out a lot of negative words because I have a lot of negative family members. I love them. I send love to them and bless them. But their words, it's been so many years I've been taking it, and it's kind of trying to take a toll on me, and because
right.
of things are not being in order like I want them in my life. And so I just really would love prayer for employment and just to be blessed. My daughter's graduating from high school, and this is my firstborn, and they're coming. The family's coming to Texas, but they're criticizing, ridiculing me because I don't have the money to do what they want me to do, and they're just really controlling. So I just want to, you know, surround my family
right.
with prayer, my husband and I, my daughters.
Okay, so what, sister, what's your name again?
It's Crystal.
Crystal, awesome, okay. So listen, Crystal, I have a word for you real quick. Will you just close your eyes right where you are? I just see God ministering to me concerning Psalm 31, and I believe that woman in Psalm 31 is you. You have such a zeal for God and a love for God and this great wisdom in your life. And that wisdom has been sort of forgotten, has been put to the side by other people. People have not appreciated you. But after tonight, there's going to be a breakthrough in the area of rejection because you've been ministerially rejected, but God has called you to write books. God has called you to say great things to other women. God has called you to be an influence to women all over the world. I even see your mouth bringing forth blessing all over the planet. You have a humongous ministry ahead of you. And the devil has tried to stop you. The devil has tried to use situations in your life to stop it. But tonight is a night in which things will begin to shift. The engine of your life has been stopped and has been tried to brought backwards. So it almost seems like it was functioning, but it was functioning backwards. But today God will begin to stop the rotor and begin to now move it in the right direction. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for Crystal. Father, your word says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I declare that that word that you've released over her life today begins to bring change, oh, Father, that she begins to live by that word, that now she's been given vision and direction, Father. Father, I release those books. I begin to release the wisdom of yours, Father, over her life. Even the spirit of wisdom comes upon her right now. Her heart begins to be healed from all rejection, and her situation begins to change. I come against every principality and power that has come to bring stagnation to her life, every principality and power that has come from the bowels of hell, every conference of hell that's been released against her life, every council of hell, every single demon that's been released to hinder her, every spirit of opposition that's come to stop her ministry is now bound and cast out in Jesus' name. I rebuke every progression of hell in this day. And today the agenda of the enemy over her life and rejection, ministerial rejection, and the rejection of the wisdom of God that God has put in her life is paralyzed and stopped. In the name of Jesus Christ, and everything that was blocking is now out of the way. And even angels right now ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation are released on her behalf to begin to open doors and even begin to bring in the money, because she shall be a business owner. She shall not be a slave for man. She shall not work for man, but she shall be a business owner, and the money comes into her hands, the money she needs to put the business. There's even businesses, ideas right now that will begin to be activated. They were before there, but they became dormant. Father, I pray you awaken by the spirit of resurrection. Every dream she has had, every single thing you put in her spirit to do, Father, but that she didn't do because of discouragement, I pray right now all discouragement leaves her in the name of Jesus. And she begins to be awakened in this moment. In Jesus' name, the power of resurrection comes upon you now. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I release supernatural increase, supernatural financial increase, supernatural financial breakthrough tonight in Jesus' mighty name. And she shall have more than enough for her daughter's graduation and even more. Father, you supply all her need according to your riches and glory. And your word says you are mighty to do it exceedingly and above all that she can think of or ask for according to the power that worketh in her. And after tonight, her power, the ability you've given her, increases exponentially in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father God. You are holy, faithful, and true. You are holy, faithful, and true, O God. Thank you for this change you've made in Crystal's life tonight, because she will never be the same after today, Father. And I pray right now as a prophet of God that you release, Father, even more prophets that will confirm this word in the next few weeks, Lord God, that everywhere that she goes, people speak this word into her life. People begin to speak this again, and people begin to activate it, oh, Father, because the word of God says, oh, Father, that by the mouth of many counsels there's safety. So I pray that safety comes into her life by many counsels, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Many counseling comes upon her life right now by the spirit of counsel. Even people are activated to come bless her life, even through words, Father, even through encouragement. And I lift up her spiritual arms, declaring that she's now strengthened in the Lord and in the power of his might. Thank you, Father, for your anointing here tonight. Thank you because you're going to use her mightily. Thank you because she's a blessing and she's not a curse. Thank you because she's not a waste of time, because she's been told that she wastes people's time. She's been told that she's not important. But, Father, I cancel those words. Father, she's been told that she's not relevant. She's been told that she doesn't matter. But, Father, I declare differently. I declare that she is relevant. I declare she will change things for other people. I declare that you will use her as an instrument of honor, an instrument of righteousness, an instrument of change in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
You are worthy of glory. Amen.
Thank
amen.
You, Father.
Sister
Crystal.
God bless you so much. I'm waiting to hear testimonies from you, because I believe
thank
God
you.
Is about to surprise you.
Thank you.
God is
thank
about
you
to surprise you, man.
Amen.
We're going to continue praying for you. I'll put you in prayer. We're going to continue praying for you. We want to see the breakthrough. I'm sorry?
What is your Facebook page so I can connect?
Oh, you can like us on Facebook at Prophet J.C. Mora. So like J.C.
Okay.
like Jesus Christ and then Mora. Prophet J.C. Mora. Or you can look us up
yes.
on our bilingual page, Pastor John C. Mora, J-E-A-N, and then separately C, and then dot M-O-R-A. So John C. Mora.
Thank you.
Pastor
sir.
John
Thank
C. Mora
you.
Or Prophet J.C. Mora. I love you, sister. God bless you. Thank you so much.
I love you,
I believe
too.
You're
God
comforted
you.
Tonight, and you received the time of refreshing. Amen?
Yes, I did. Praise God. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you. Take care.
God bless
All
you.
Good night.
Take care. Good night.
Good night. All right, glory to Jesus. And that's what God does in your life. Let me tell you, if you still want to call it, you can go ahead and do so. 760-888-5757, press 1. That is 760-888-5757. I want you to press 1. God is about to release something upon your life. Take it. There's an anointing here. There's a momentum being built right now. And let's take advantage of that momentum. Momentum, the word momentum means impulse. So when you build an impulse, what happens is when you release that impulse, things happen faster. That's what brings breakthrough, the impulse that you gain out of the constant prayer, the constant searching for God. So call in right now, 760-888-5757, press 1. That is 760-888-5757, press 1. And I remind you once again that you can get in touch with us at Prophet J.C. Mora on Facebook, Pastor John C. Mora on Facebook. You can also check out our church ministry page, Springs of Living Water Church on Facebook. You can also email us prayer requests and questions, slwchurch@gmail.com. That is slwchurch@gmail.com. Listen to us tomorrow night, amen, at almavision.tv in Spanish. Almavision.tv in Spanish at 9 p.m. East Coast time. Check us out, or if you're in South Florida area, you can check us out at 87.7 FM, either in your car dial or in your house radio, whatever it is, or even in the internet, almavision.tv. I love you all very much, brethren. Thank you so much for tonight. Please change the way you talk. I want to hear great testimonies about you became convicted. And if there's something in your heart you need to get out, confess differently and begin to heal your heart by your own confession. I love you all very much. God bless, and I will see you next Friday night, hopefully, by the grace of God, God willing, at 9 p.m. East Coast time. Take care. Thank you for coming to Times of Refreshing.